I want you to know that I chose this title for today's sermon weeks before we knew the results of the election. I knew that no matter who was elected, given the preponderance of racist, misogynistic, xenophobic, white supremacist rhetoric being whipped up in our nation, it would be important to explore the topic of evil. I had no way of knowing just how apropos it would be. Trump's election has given validation to all those who want to bully. After all, if you can be a bully and a bigot and be elected to the president, it must be okay for me to bully my fellow students, colleagues, and strangers on the street. And we are already beginning to see it happen. On Wednesday, just Wednesday, the day after the election, reports of hate crimes, bullying, and vandalism came in from all across the country. A swastika and the words "Make America White Again" were found spray-painted on a wall in upstate New York. In Michigan, middle schoolers chanted "Build a wall" during their lunch break. The word "Trump" was scrawled on the door to a Muslim prayer room for students at New York University's School of Engineering in Brooklyn. At a college in Buffalo, a black doll was photographed hanging from a curtain rod in a meme containing inflammatory language involving Donald Trump. In South Philadelphia, a storefront was painted with a swastika, the Nazi greeting Sieg Heil, and the word "Trump." At Shasta High School, a boy handed out papers with the word "deportation" written on the top of it to six students of a variety of ethnicities. A man in Rochester, New York, found his rainbow pride flag scorched and lying on his porch. And here at San Diego State University, a Muslim woman wearing a hijab was attacked and robbed by two men who made comments about Trump and Muslims. And the KKK has announced it will hold a victory parade in North Carolina on December 3rd. The phrase, "Get thee behind me, Satan," comes from the New Testament of the Christian scriptures. For those of you who are new to our fellowship, I want to be clear that we don't read from the Bible regularly or every Sunday, but as Unitarian Universalists, we look to all of the world's religions and their scriptures as sources of wisdom. As it happens, the Bible has quite a bit to say about evil. In this particular passage, Jesus has just been telling his gathered disciples that he's going to have to go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the leaders, chief priests, and scribes, and that he will be killed, and on the third day he will be brought back to life. Peter pulls Jesus aside and says, essentially, "Stop saying that. Good heavens, that's awful. That's not going to happen to you." Loose translation. And Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Here's what I think he's essentially saying to Peter. You keep focusing on the things of the body and the material world. I have been trying to teach you the value of the true reality, which is not material. It is the fundamental oneness of infinite, all-powerful love that is who we are and will always be. Humans are united in our spirit nature. We are never separate from it. And by virtue of that, we are not separate from one another. Jesus calls Peter Satan. That's some pretty intense language, and I can imagine it got Peter's attention. It is unlikely that any of us believe that Satan is a literal being or entity. Rather, Satan is the personification or the embodiment of evil. The way I understand it, evil is the lack of love, just like darkness is a lack of light. Evil is the complete absence of compassion, kindness, and wisdom. It is the cause and the result of being cut off from our true nature as loving beings. It is only when we do not see our shared humanity with someone else that we can belittle or knowingly cause them harm. It is evil that allows us to think of ourselves as better than or more worthy than somebody else. Now, I know the word evil is intense, and it creates a frightening image, as perhaps it should. It may be helpful, at least in this instance, for you, every time you hear the word evil, to replace it in your mind with the words lack of love. Evil can be sly and subtle. It settles itself in the back corners of our minds and makes us accept the utterly unacceptable. By now, we know that a staggering percentage of African Americans are imprisoned in our country, many thousands locked away from their loved ones, stripped of their rights for nonviolent minor offenses, and forced to work for little or no pay. While white men on Wall Street receive taxpayer bailouts and sleep soundly in their cozy beds. The United States military is engaged in ongoing, opportunistic occupations of other nations, which we are supposed to call war, as if that makes it noble. While here, on ancestral land that was promised to native tribes in now broken treaties, unarmed people peacefully praying to protect the sacred water from certain harm are attacked by dogs, tear gassed, and beaten with batons. Here in San Diego County, just like everywhere else in our country, men and women sleep outside on the streets, and we are somehow able to look away when they ask for change. Nigerian American writer Teju Cole, in an article in this Friday's New York Times Magazine, wrote, "Evil settles into everyday life when people are unable or unwilling to recognize it. It makes its home among us when we are keen to minimize it or describe it as something else. This is not a process that began a week or a month or a year ago. It did not begin with drone assassinations or with the war on Iraq. Evil has always been here, but now it has taken on a totalitarian tone." Evil isn't just a swastika scrawled on a wall. And it isn't just an avowed white supremacist. It is a thread of fear that is woven through every human heart. It is the spark of terror that instantly severs our connection with the holy and divides us from one another. It is the urge toward self-preservation that constricts our vision, blinding us to the wider perspective. How do we counter evil? It might be easier to answer if we asked the question in another way. How do we counter a lack of love? Evil is not something to heap shame upon, to punish. It is an error. Like any error, it calls for correcting. It is so tempting to label people as evil beings, but people who openly boast about being racist or misogynistic are cut off from their whole being. They are isolated and spiritually bereft. They do not know love. And for that, they deserve our pity. James Baldwin said, "I imagine one of the reasons people cling to their hates so stubbornly is because they sense, once the hate is gone, they will be forced to deal with pain." People often act unlovable because deep down they are afraid that they are, in fact, unlovable. They were usually taught that they were unworthy of love as little children. I don't mean that we should excuse their hateful behavior. I think the only way to counter evil is to learn to see it and name it and call it out. But sometimes people must be forced to stop harming others. I learned in my study of nonviolent communication this concept called the protective use of force. Marshall Rosenberg, who is the founder of NVC, says, "The intention behind the protective use of force is to prevent injury or injustice, never to punish or to cause individuals to suffer, repent, or change. The punitive use of force tends to generate hostility and to reinforce resistance to the very behavior that we are seeking. Punishment damages goodwill and self-esteem and shifts our attention from the intrinsic value of an action to external consequences. blaming and punishing fail to contribute to the motivations we would like to inspire in others. Put more succinctly by Gandhi, an eye for an eye will leave the whole world blind. Or by Martin Luther King Jr., hate begets hate, violence begets violence, toughness begets a greater toughness. We must meet the forces of hate with the power of love. The corrective for evil, for a lack of love, is of course love. But evil is a powerful force. We all know that force in our own hearts. We each know the power of fear because we have felt it. We may be feeling it now. So let awakening be our goal. By awakening, I mean learning to see ourselves clearly and not be ruled by our fear. Recognize the ways that your ego uses fear to try to protect you from perceived harm. And begin to question the need for that so-called protection. This helps me make sense of Jesus' use of such potent language in calling Peter Satan. Jesus has been telling his followers that some very hard things are coming for him, but that he was ready and he believed that they were necessary. Peter is the voice of that fearful ego, the small self that was trying to keep Jesus safe by holding him back. Our nation is hurting right now. Trump has given bigots and bullies license to wreak havoc, and hatred has been unleashed. Now is not the time for us to play small. Now is not the time to let fear keep you silent. If you see someone being harassed or bullied and you feel your fear come up, say to the fear, "Get thee behind me, Satan." The anxiety that you feel around speaking truth to power, get thee behind me. For me, it's the fear of speaking to the media on camera. Get thee behind me, because right now, more than ever before, it is not about me. It's not about being comfortable. It's not about making sure I say the right things or don't make a fool of myself. It's not about protecting myself, because that is what is keeping us apart. That is the work of the devil. This urge we have for self-preservation has been keeping us isolated from one another for far too long. Whenever you feel that urge for self-preservation to come up, that fear that would clamp you down from saying or doing what you know in your gut to be the right thing, I want you to say to it, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Our complacency, it seems so innocuous, but it is what has allowed our collective lack of love to flourish in this nation. Say to that part of you that just can't be bothered right now to do the right thing, to call out the evil that you see around you. Say to it, "Get thee behind me." Whatever it is that's been holding you back from shining the light of love into the world, say to it right now, with me, aloud, "Get thee behind me." Now is the time to watch for opportunities and take opportunities that come our way to do good in the world, to do the right thing. I'm seeing so much to be hopeful about. There's been a power surge of righteous action in our nation this week. The ACLU has received more than 14,000 donations since Wednesday, far exceeding anything they've ever seen. I signed up to donate to them monthly. I've also made a contribution to the Southern Poverty Law Center. There's a network called Our Revolution. It was started by the Bernie Sanders campaign, and the supporters have created a platform for progressive revolution and political consciousness raising. A movement has begun of people wearing a safety pin on their shirt to indicate that they are a hate-free zone and are willing to risk their own comfort to protect somebody who's being harassed or bullied. I've taken to wearing my Black Lives Matter shirt wherever I go into public space. Occasionally, people have yelled "All Lives Matter" at me from a passing car, but it is worth it to me to hear hateful responses when even one African American person walks up and thanks me. There is great energy right now in this resistance. My colleague, UU Minister Reverend Susan Conrad, wrote on her Facebook page, "I feel Goddess rising. Rising in the hearts of millions of people on this planet who are resisting hate, who are building and rebuilding movements of fierce love, solidarity, care, and justice. Rising in the students and elders who have taken to the streets and to Standing Rock, and rising in all the daily actions we must take to protect the flourishing of life and defend the survival and well-being and self-determination of Indigenous and marginalized communities. Goddess is rising," she says, "in the millions of acts of creativity, resilience, and courage that have been and are happening every moment since Tuesday's election. Out of this scorched earth, there are new and growing and resilient green shoots of sequoias pushing up. Let us fight with all the power and love and courage and strength and vulnerability we have." I preached last Sunday on the idea that we don't know what anything is for. I said that we should stay curious and open before deciding that a situation is bad. We can't, from our limited perspective, know for certain that a Trump presidency is the worst thing that could happen to America and the world. It sure is easy to feel that way. But imagine, in 20 years, people look to this time as the beginning of the great progressive revolution and reform in American politics. It is in our power. What if this is the beginning of awakening for huge numbers of people who stopped being complacent and rose up together in righteous resistance? I can sense a fierceness rising right now. Trump has no idea what he has unleashed. Perhaps he has woken the sleeping dragon and is creating a love rebellion, the likes of which the earth has never seen. I leave you with an anonymous quote, my new favorite. "The devil whispered in my ear, 'You are not strong enough for the storm.' Today I whispered in the devil's ear, 'I am the storm.'" May it be so. Amen. Ashe and blessed be.